So we are on Nehemiah part 5. Nehemiah part 5. So open up your Bibles to me and Nehemiah. And we're going to look at chapter 5 today. Of course, just a little review. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king. Israel had been exiled. They had an opportunity to come back into their land, and they started coming back. Nehemiah didn't have to come back. He was in a very good position, and he decided to come back because he understood there was a purpose. Everybody say purpose. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says, hey, Peter, can you go back and grab me a water, please? It's interesting. The Bible says that in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Every single one of you have to recognize that God has a purpose for your life. And the world will try to just steal that away from you. And let me just tell you, one of the main ways he does this is in the area of materialism. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not, you know, I don't equate, a lot of people equate people with a lot of money with greediness. Those are not synonymous necessarily. They can be, and sometimes they are. But I can point out to people that that are greedy and that are selfish, and they're not driving a Mercedes-Benz. They're driving a clunker. Although there's not a sameness, you know what? Some people that are poor are not greedy. Does that make sense? And in our society, where there's so much, we talked about it on Sunday, two Sundays ago, the importance of unity. In our society, we said in one of the points, God wants to, Satan wants to divide. He comes and he divides. Why? Because he divides and he conquers. Because there's power in unity. There's a lot of power in unity. And so what he wants to do is he wants to divide. And I've told you this before. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what group it is. Ultimately, because God has made so... because God is so unique in his making individuals so individual, so unique. Every single one of you are one of a kind. You know what I mean? Absolutely one of a kind. So the really only group that you have is you. No, but me and him... You know what? We're both dudes. You know what I mean? We both like football. Okay, cool. That's great. But you and him are so different. Do you understand? And so even though we find these ways to identify and to, and there's nothing wrong with that, except when you start to identify, listen to me. When you start to identify with this group, to separate yourself from that group. Does that make sense? See, that's exactly what it is, and it's evil. And we need to see it. We need to see it for what it is. And so And as we do that and we separate ourselves, then we become isolated. And because ultimately isolation is where foolishness comes. Amen. And just let me tell you how Satan works. He'll divide any group with any other group to then divide that group from each other, to then divide other groups from each other. What his whole goal is just to get you thinking that you are the best in the whole world, and you know everything, and you understand everything, and you are the pinnacle of intelligence, and everybody else are idiots. That's ultimately what he's trying to do. Amen. I've seen people do this. I've seen people come to churches. I've seen them. I know people who are like this. And they'll come to a church and they'll be blessed and blessed and blessed. And then Satan will try to take advantage of them. And he will take advantage of them. And they'll get a critical spirit. And all of a sudden they'll find something wrong. And you know what I mean? And like that's hard to do at any church. I'm being sarcastic. I mean, now you can find a lot of stuff wrong at every single church. I'm not talking about, want things that are unethical or immoral. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about how many people we got here? We got that much wrong here. Wow. Right? Including me. You know what? You know who messed up? You know who messed up this church? You did. When you came, amen. Praise God. But let me tell you what, before you get too mad at me, understand this church was messed up before you came. You know why? Because I was here. It's the truth. It's the truth. And so it's just a con to get us to, and what happens is, as we are separating, and so, I was telling you about, people that I know. And then they say, no, I need to find another church. And then they find another church. But the problem is that same critical spirit goes to that church. And so in a short period of time, they'll find something wrong. And, and then I'll need to go to this church. And then pretty soon, and I've seen it. You know where they're going to church? They're not going anywhere. I know a young man who did this, and he just started having services in his house. Sad thing is, 5 years later, doesn't even believe in Christ. See, that's what Satan's target is. And so with you, he'll try to get you isolated and try to get you separated, and many times it's the cares of the world. The deceitfulness, listen to me, this is in the Bible, the deceitfulness of what? Oh, you guys don't know this? Everybody say the deceitfulness of riches. No, Pastor, no, I don't, listen to me, somebody hear me. How many know we know the right things to say, but we need to look in our hearts? We need to look in our hearts. We need to, just because we know the right verbiage, just because we know the right verbiage doesn't mean that we're not materialistic. Listen to me. It is very difficult to live in America and not be caught up with riches and the love of money. It's very difficult. And so just because what is the proper answer doesn't mean that that's what's really going on in your heart. Can I give you, I've given you this before, but it's so, so helpful. How many want to know how to measure what's really going on in your heart? Right? Don't think about it first. Because once you raise your hand, then you're going to be held accountable. Can I tell you what? This is a secret. Just because you don't raise your hand, don't mean you're not going to be held accountable anyway. I'm just saying, you know. No, God, I didn't raise my hand. God says, to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, how many want to know how you can tell what's really going on in your heart? Right? Somebody else. Come on, somebody else. Can I see another hand? Somebody else raise their hand. Come on. All right. Get out your checkbook. No. Get out your checkbook. Because your checkbook will tell you. Except some of you young people say, what's your checkbook? Okay. Get online and look at your bank statement. You guys got one of those? And look and see where you're spending your money. Because that will tell you, not a fake out. Hey, how many know sometimes, man, it's painful. The truth is painful. But how many know it's okay? It's better to know the truth now and be able to make adjustments. How many came in here to be changed? Okay, so look at your bank statement. But watch this. But that materialism, that love for money, many times takes us off the purpose for our lives. The purpose for your life. And listen to me. I don't care what you do as far as vocationally. You are called to build the kingdom. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I'm going to get a big amen. See, let me say it another way. I don't care but Pastor, I work at Kmart. I work at Walmart. Pastor, I'm a secretary. Pastor, I'm an electrician. Okay, praise God, great. All these things are great. But your purpose is to build the kingdom. Does that make sense? Your purpose is to build the kingdom. And what Satan wants to do, he wants to get you off your purpose. Off your purpose. How does he do that? Well, he does that, what I said many times, materialistically. To just, and how many know Satan is incremental? Ever say incremental? I mean, why? Because he's sly, he's slick. So he'll say, just no. You could just back up a little bit. No, just back. See, it's okay. Nothing happened. See, just back up a little bit. See, nothing happened. See, I told you nothing's going to happen. Just back up a little bit. And you keep on just backing up a little bit at a time, a little bit. And the whole time, your kids and grandkids are watching exactly what you're doing. And they don't miss anything. And at one point in time, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to back up the same little bit of measurement that you backed up before, but that little bit is going to be off the cliff. And you won't understand. You know what the Bible says about the men that are being seduced by the seductive women? It says they don't even recognize it. They're just like an ox going to slaughter. Just, hey, it's okay, it's a good day. And then, boom. And then the Bible says that the arrow will hit their liver. You know what their liver is? It's a vital organ. Right? So we have to recognize that there's destructive attitudes. Everybody say destructive attitudes. That's what I want to talk about today. Destructive attitudes. And we have to deal with those destructive attitudes. Okay? So I'm going to talk about tonight and how Nehemiah dealt with these destructive attitudes, listen to me, that were coming against them to try to get, and coming against God's people to try to get them to not be able to complete the work that they started. And he has to deal with these destructive attitudes. And we have to deal with these destructive attitudes. So I want to teach you tonight how to do that. Number one, if you're taking notes, and we understand the importance of taking notes, here's why. Because we remember more of what we write down. If we need to first evaluate what is really going on. And I emphasize, I've in my notes, I have it underlined, evaluate what is really going on. See, Satan would try to get you distracted, and so you're not focused on what is really important. And Nehemiah had to focus on what was really going on. Let me tell you what was happening. Some of the people had mortgaged their, some of the people had loaned other people money. And they had taken advantage of other people. Hello? How many know if you're a Christian and you lend money to somebody else, how many know what kind of interest rate you're supposed to charge them? Oh, good. Everybody say zero. Okay, you're supposed to charge them zero interest rate. Well, they weren't doing that. And matter of fact, they had said, yeah, we'll lend you this money so that you can pay off your taxes, so that you can pay your, feed your kids and all this stuff. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to use your land as collateral. So they made that deal, but now those people can't even take care of their kids. They have no means now of income because they've mortgaged their land to be able to pay off their taxes and take care of the kids. And Nehemiah looks at this situation and says, this is messed up. I've got to deal with the situation. And that's what you have to do. When you're dealing with attitudes, you have to have a willingness, listen to me, to really look at the situation. And what I said earlier, sometimes that's like, ah, but it's ugly. Yeah, okay, but you've got to evaluate it. How many know sometimes in life, we just get so busy running that we don't have time to think? Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? See, sometimes you just got to sit and rest and go, man, God, help me to see what's going on here. That's what I'm saying. You've got to spend time sometimes to sit back. Sometimes something's going on with your children. Sometimes something's going on with your husband. Sometimes something's going on with your spouse. Sometimes something's going on at your workplace. Sometimes something's going on and you just get so caught up in the day-by-day running and running and running and running that you never evaluate what's really going on. And listen, and you might be the very one that God has called to fix that situation, but you can't because you won't ever stop and take the time to find out what's really going on. If I'm preaching good, somebody say amen. If somebody can go, yeah, Pastor, I can relate to that. Sometimes I get so, and what I'm saying is you've got to stop and you've got to take some time to find out what's really going on. Nehemiah chapter 5, look at verse 6 and 7 with me up here on the screens. Nehemiah 5, 6 and 7. Look what it says. And I became very angry when I heard their outcry of those words. They were saying some stuff. And because people were feeling the pressure of not being able to create any income because they had borrowed this money. And became very angry and heard the outcry of these words. Next verse, look what it says. After serious thought. Ooh, there's my point. Say that with me. After serious thought. See, and let me tell you what. Serious thought takes you to your knees to pray to God and say, God, I can't do this. I need your help. Tell me what's going on. The rulers, after a serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is extracting usury from interest from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them. He's proactive in what he's going to do because he's going to deal with this. But here, before he deals with it, we'll talk about it in a minute. What first you have to do is you've got to locate the problem. See, some of you can't ever fix the problem because you won't stop and take the time to find out what the problem is. And say, God, speak to me. I'm listening. Help me. James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Look up here on the screen again. of his own will he brought us forth by the truth, that we might be of a kind of first fruits of his creation. Watch this, next verse. So then, my beloved brethren, let each man be swift to hear, and what?
Slow
to speak, slow to wrath. Here, let each man be swift to what?
Hear.
See, many times we, and here's what we do a lot of times, we're so quick to give the answer that worked 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. You know what? You're dealing with your child and you think this is the problem, but you know what? That's how you dealt with the child when they were eight. Now they're 14 and you need to deal with the child differently. But you're not doing that. You're swift to speak. And you need to be slow to speak. You take no time in serious thought, not prayer, not meditation, not asking God. God, show me what the answer is. How many know the Bible, if you ask, the Bible says, if we lack wisdom, let us ask, and God will give it to us freely without reproach. If we ask, in this portion, James says, you have not because you asked not. See, we need to be quick to hear, quick to get on our knees, quick to ask for God's help, quick to say, God, what is it? What is it that you want me to do? Because I don't know. Everybody say, I don't know.
I don't know.
See, that is a good position to be in. You know what? Not quick to say, oh, let me tell you. No. Let me be quiet. Let me ask God. Let me get into some serious thought. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. Look at this. James chapter 4. You know this. Instead, we ought to say, this is somebody, who, let's do this, let's do that. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Next verse, guys. But now you boast in your arrogance. See, this is arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Whoa, I know what to do. No. You didn't spend any time. You weren't quick to hear. You were quick to speak. And it's arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Next verse. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. That's so interesting. How many know sometimes there's awesome scriptures and you know the scripture, but you don't know what context it is? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, that to him is sin. Wow, I know the verse. Let me put it in context. You know where the context it is? In context, he's saying, hey, guys, God has spoken to you, and you know what to do. See, because let me tell you what happened in serious thought. When you will humble yourself and start to ask God, God, what do you really want me to do? Here's what he's going to do. You have not because you ask. But if you ask, God will give to you liberally without reproach. So then he's going to tell you what to do. Well, guess what you get to do when he tells you what to do? How many know sometimes God's solutions aren't what you thought? How many know sometimes God's solutions are, you know, many times in our life, you know, like we're water, we just like to just do the easiest road of less resistance, you know what I mean? Ooh, I get some resistance over here, so I come over here. Yeah. Can I tell you something that, and I thank God for it. I think it's a great compliment. Tamara and I have been complimented many times of this. And people who are gracious who compliment on us this, but here's what they'll say. You know what, Pastor, we thank you because you told us the truth. Amen. You know, many times, you know what, I have people who come here and they come and say, oh, Pastor, that's a great sermon. That was awesome. You know what? I love coming here. I'm like, dude, you like coming here? Yeah, I love coming here. Okay. Now, how come I only see you like once every 2 months? Pastor, you'd say, yes, I will ask that because that's bewildering to me. And many times, here's what the answer. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. See, this is how I roll. This is how I roll. I'm like a freelance Christian. And I go to this church, you know what? And they, you know what? And then I go to this church, and I go, and then sometimes I roll into Hope. And Pastor, what do you say? Sometimes I'd say, listen. Sometimes I say nothing, but listen, led by the Spirit. But most of the time I say something. And I say, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, run the race that was set before you. The Bible says that God grounds people and he roots people in a house that they might flourish. Sometimes I'll tell them this. It's like a plant, you know what I mean? And you know what? A plant's not like furniture. You know what? So we're in the living room, and Tamara wants to rearrange the furniture. You know what I mean? Remember when we rearranged the furniture over there? And it's funny because my wife, she knows, and she's right. You just got to do it. Let me tell you, over in the coffee house, we rearranged that furniture every single way except up on the ceiling. Amen? And I think if we had big stickums, we would have put them on this. No, we wouldn't have. But here's what I'm saying. But here's the beautiful thing. After we arranged it all those ways, Tamara was absolutely right. We finally found the way that was the best. And the furniture was kind of big, and it was kind of different, you know, as far as its placement. It just really, we had to do all that work. Can I tell you what? It's not like that in a garden. Because if you take that plant and you take it up and you put it over here, and then you know, I don't like it. In 3 days, you go, no, I'm going to take that plant and put it over here. No, it's better here. And then put it there for 2 days, and then, it's better over here. At some point in time, that plant's going to look up at you and just go, man, I'm out of here. Right? That plant will look at you and it'll be like, dead. I'm dead now. You killed me. See, we're called to be in a place and to be tough and allow our pastors to correct us and to stay there. Amen? Hello. So it's so interesting because in context, where he's saying, in context, what he's saying is, therefore, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him, that's sin. In other words, to him who knows what the plan is, listen, it's great to pray for the plan, but then you've got to do the plan. And if you don't do the plan, let me tell you what it is. You know what to do because God spoke to you, but you just won't do it. Let me tell you what that is. That's sin. So interesting in its context. Look at verse chapter 4, verse 12. Look what this says. Chapter 4, verse 12. There was one lawgiver who was able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? It's interesting because in context, this is talking about making judgments about other people. See, you've got to be slow to speak. Notice I said when somebody's doing that and I recognize what they're doing, you know what? I said sometimes. You know why I said sometimes? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, confront them. Many times the Holy Spirit say, don't even bother. Wow. Amen. Sometimes there'll be something that is right to say, but it's the wrong timing. And you might just crush that person as you're saying. Maybe they're trying to serve and they haven't served for a long time and they're just starting to serve and they come in late time after time after time. And you're right ready because, you know what? How many know you shouldn't be late? Oh, I didn't get a big amen on that one. How many know you shouldn't be late? I'm still not getting a good response. How many know you shouldn't be late? Hey, listen to me. But sometimes, you know what? The Holy Spirit will say, now's not the time. They're not ready for that correction. How many know you have to be sensitive to this? Verse 17, James chapter 4, verse 17. Look at this. Therefore, I just said that already. Sorry. See, you've got to hear God, but then you have to be accurate. And what Nehemiah judged is, man, I'm going to confront these people. I'm not only going to confront these people, I'm going to get a big assembly. I'm going to correct them. Yeah, amen. See, let me just tell you the Bible. It is okay, you know what, to help. We are our brother's keeper. And sometimes that means we need to go alongside them and say something to them. It just always has to be in a gracious way. That doesn't mean it's not direct. Sometimes you can be direct, but never be condescending. Never make your correction. Never that person needs to feel a superiority morally. I'm morally up here and you're down there. They should never feel that way. And you can correct without making people feel that way. Amen. Amen. Number two, engage in the real issue. If you're going to deal with destructive attitudes, you've got to do, listen, you've got to engage in the real issue. Everybody say the real issue. Nehemiah chapter 5, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. And I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, what you're doing is not good. You should not walk in the fear of our God. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproaches of the nations and the enemy? Very important question. Listen to what he says. Should you not walk in the fear of our God? Can I tell you what is a problem in our nation? Can I tell you what is a problem in our state? Can I tell you what's a problem in Los Angeles? Can I tell you what a problem in our churches are? Can I tell you what a problem in most families are? Here's what it is. It's right here. They don't deal with the real issue. Can I tell you what the real issue is? It's most people think that God talks, but he's never going to come through. That's what they think. That's what they thought in Noah's day. Oh, yeah, it's going to rain. It's never going to rain. It's not going to rain. That's what people are saying right now. Jesus is never going to come back. Jesus is never going to come back. Jesus is never going to come back. No, it's okay. We can, can I tell you some? The fact that in our country, if you have aborted a child, there is grace in Jesus Christ. I don't know who you are. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I don't say this to condemn anybody. Or if you've been part of an abortion, you just looked the other way and said, I'll take care of it. You know what I mean? Here's, $100, take care of it, or whatever it is. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Having said that, the fact that in America we abort 400 children every single day, it should make us vomit. It is appalling that we would allow this to continue to happen. We should be the protectors of the most vulnerable. You know what the Bible says that God hates? The shedding of innocent blood. You know what God hates? God hates injustices. He hates it. I can't think of a greater injustice than not giving a child even an opportunity to live. It's just so bad. It's so evil. It's so evil. Why does that come from? Can I tell you where it comes from? It comes from this mentality that God doesn't exist. If he does, we can do whatever we want, and there's no repercussions from our actions.
No fear.
There's no fear. The fear of the Lord isn't to be afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is to believe that what God says is going to happen. That's the fear of the Lord. And so what does Eve say? Genesis chapter 3. Look it up here up on the screen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It's the original problem. Now the serpent was more cunning than any other the beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Next verse, guys. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you die. Okay. Here it is. Are you ready? Here it is. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. See, that's the issue. The issue is people think they can do what they want and there'll be no repercussion. You know why she ate? She ate because ultimately she believed this lie. That she could eat and what she eat, that there was going to be no repercussion. She believed Satan and Satan conned her and said, no, let me tell you what's really going on. Satan, every time he speaks, he lies. And sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes he'll mix in some truth with a lie. It's still a lie. Right? And so here was the deal. She said, oh, no. And that's what these people thought. These people think we could take advantage of somebody, and we, even though we know it's wrong to do, and there will be no repercussion. And Nehemiah said, no. Let me tell you what. There will be repercussion. He got them all together and said, you guys better stop it. Amen. Listen, we are a family fun place. We are a loving place. We are a caring place. We are a gentle church. We're a loving church. We're a church full of joy. We're a church full of hope. But please, let me tell you what we're not. We're not a church that won't say, we're not a church that is afraid to say, let me tell you what, God is true, and let me tell you what, there's repercussions for our actions. So, Pastor, that's not loving. No. No, that's wrong. That is loving. That is loving. See, you know what I find unloving? I find unloving churches that won't tell people that, you know what, that are fornicating. They won't tell them it's wrong. That will harm you. And we're afraid because we know now, you know what, that there's so many men that identify themselves as Christians, but they're watching pornography. Listen, men, I'm going to tell you something. Stop it. You said, Pastor, I've been doing this ever since. I can't stop it. Wrong amundo. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God will not allow you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, it says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle, but with that temptation will allow a way of escape. You know what? Talking about this subject, I talk about this all the time. Why do I talk about it all the time? Because I know it's a problem. Statistically, it's a problem. Oh, but no, Pastor, but our church is just different. No, our church is different, praise God. And I believe that our numbers are better. But you know what? I don't believe that nobody's having an issue with this. Pastor, ooh. See, that's what I said. I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. I'm not afraid, and I'm not afraid to say this. If you continue to kung fu this grip this, because let me tell you what, man, you can come up with reasons and excuses all you want, and you can, and let me be real honest with you, and you can think that you can do it by yourself. But statistics will say that you are much better to get somebody who will help you. You know how many times I've stood up here and said, man, if you have a problem, you can discreetly call me And you know what? And we can talk, and I'll help you get through your problem. You know how few phone calls I ever get on this issue? Listen, and you don't have to pick me. But let me tell you what you better pick. You better pick somebody who has the integrity to look at you in the face and say, I love you, and I'll help you through this. But you got to knock it off. You need somebody tough. Not somebody who's condemning. And I won't condemn any of y'all. I won't. But the problem we think, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We think that we can continue. Let me tell you, and this is another one. You can't just not come to church. Let me tell you, I just come to church when all the things line up and it ever. Listen, I come to church when it's easy and I come to church when it's not easy. Amen? I come to church when it's sunny and I come to church when it's rainy. I come to church when I feel good and I come to church when I don't feel good. Amen? I come to church when I'm having a good hair day and I come to church when I'm not having a good hair day. Amen? Amen? Why? Because it's important. It's one of the things that God says. Jesus is our example. How many believe we got to be followers of Christ? Christ said, you know what? When his mom was looking for him, he said, Mom, why are you looking all these other places? Didn't you know I'd be right here? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But Pastor, but I'm here. Praise God, I'm just preaching to the choir, amen? How many know it's good to preach to the choir? How many of the choir members need to hear the word of God? You know what? And next, you know what? Because let me tell you what, it's always something. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Can I tell you, and I'm not being boastful, but I'm just saying, if you ask, when does most of the revelation knowledge that you get, where did it come from? I'll tell you where it's going to come from. It's going to come from your local church as you hear me or Pastor Tamara, who are your pastors, you know what, quickened by the Holy Spirit to deal with you exactly what you need. I just talked to somebody this week, and they're like, Pastor, and every time I come to church, it's like you're talking to me. Watch this. Yeah. Watch this. Because God knows where you're supposed to be.
That's right.
Amen.
I am your pastor. I am ordained to be your pastor. I am called to be your pastor. God speaks to me concerning you.
Pastor, you know what's going on in my life?
No, I don't. But here's what I do know. I know what I'm going to preach this Sunday. I know, here's what I know. I know that the messages that I'm preaching right now on the principles that we hold most highly dear is ordained from God. I know it. And I know if you will be obedient to be in the place where you need to be on Sunday, that supernaturally God will feed you supernaturally. I know that. I could even be talking about something that is so far away, but I'll say one little illustration and the Holy Spirit will. Amen. Have I ever been preaching a sermon and I'll make point one and there's some little nuance in point one that just strikes you and for the whole sermon you don't even hear point three and four? See, some of you don't want to raise your hand because, you know what I mean? But you can raise your hand. You don't even hear point three or four. That's why you need to listen to it when you get home, because three and four are good, guys. But see, it's okay. I don't even mind if you don't hear three or four, because you weren't called to hear three or four. You were called to be here and hear what I said in that first point. Amen. Does this make sense? You know what that is? It's supernatural. But you have to have, see, what comes, how does that come? The fear of the Lord. Everything, all the things that God says. God, I could turn to the things that the Bible says. You know, how many know there's behaviors that the Bible says, and those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. How many know it's like, you know, there's Christians who'll say, God doesn't say that. No, they really don't know. They really don't know. Pastor, why in the world, in this society, in this time, why in the world would you turn to that scripture on a Sunday, and in that one portion of scripture, we were talking about it, you know, two Sundays ago, where the Bible says, you know what, the Bible says, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know? Don't say that. Here, that's, why would you say that, Pastor? Here's why. Because how will they know without a preacher? How will they know? Because right now, you know what? CNN ain't telling them, right? NBC's not telling them. You know, no. I mean, everybody's saying the other thing. Can I tell you what? It's good to proclaim the truth. You know, people that God used, you know what they were? They were people that said, this is wrong. This is what God said. And they didn't care if all the society was against them. Why would they do that? Here's why. Because they loved people. And maybe 1,000 people would hate them, but maybe 100 people would hear that, and God would quicken into their hearts, and they'd be set free. Amen. You know, how come, Pastor, how come you would say to people, how come you would say to people, you know what, if you're living together, you know what, that's wrong. You know what, I love how, you know, the Holy Spirit orchestrated, because you know what I did? I didn't just tell them it was wrong. I showed them statistically that most people that are living together, let me tell you what, you will never get married. You'll never get married. No, he's gonna marry me someday. No, he's not. Why? Let me tell you why. Because he's not committed to you. And you should uncommit yourself to him. You should say, no, I'm slicking out the back. I'm slipping it out the back, Jack. You know what I mean? No, but we're different. See, somebody who really loves people tells people the truth. And can I tell you what? And this is the biggest, you know what, you think that you can just do whatever you want and there's no repercussions, because God is a God of love. Yes, God is a God of love, and he loves you. But don't be deceived. There's behaviors. What do we have to do? Well, my last point, and I'll make it quick. My last point is this. We've got to employ God's power. We've got to employ God's power. We've got to say, God, okay, these behaviors are wrong. This is wrong what they were doing. But look at Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Look what Nehemiah does. Look what he does. You guys got it? So they said, we will restore it. He's confronted them. They're saying, we'll restore it, and we will require nothing from them. Praise God, you're making a change. We'll require nothing from him. "We will do as you say." Then they called the priests and acquired an oath from them that they should do according to this promise. This is so good. Hey, wait. You want to talk? Oh, we'll change. Okay, fine. Get down here. Right? Get down here. Come on, Bucky. Let's go. Exactly. Accountability, responsibility, manning up. Let's go. Let's really not just talk about this. Let's make an oath. Let's seal this. Let's have you come down in front of everybody. You make, oh yeah, we're gonna do it. All right, well, let's make that more public than it is. So God, then I shook out the fold from my garment and said, "So may God shake." Oh, I love this. See, now we're gonna employ the power of God in the situation. So may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out of the emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praise the Lord. Then the people did according to his promise. I love this because he's saying, let me tell you what. You want to say that? Let's put an accountability that if you don't, then God's going to shake you from your land. See, and I love what they said. They said, yep, let's do it. See, guys, can I tell you what? God is a good God. And we never need to be afraid to commit to God's ways. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be scared. Don't ever think, no, but I can't. But I can't. But ooh, when I can't marry her. Ooh, but I can't. No, but I can't. You know what? I can't come out of that sin. Oh, I can't because, no. Let me tell you what. Sin is causing problems in your life. Don't be deceived. He's not the good God. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. God is the one. Don't ever be deceived by thinking that righteousness isn't the best way of life. The Bible says, don't ever say evil is good and good is evil. Ooh, don't listen. I've told you this before. Don't ever look back in your party days. You know what? When you got drunk and you sexed it up and you lied and you cheated and you dishonored people. Don't ever look back and say, oh man, that was so cool. No, that was so stupid. That was so foolish. The days of righteousness are the days of goodness. Amen. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. Look what it says. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Amen. We're going to find out what God says, and then we're going to do that. Yeah. Next verse. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen up. We've risen and stand upright. They, who is the people? Those who are trusting. Oh, we used to do it like this. We used to do it like that. Or I'm going to do it my way. No. I know the Bible says that, but it works all different for me. You know, I'm going to reap this, but I'm going to sow something good. Because I don't want to forsake that. No. You're going to fall. But we have risen up, and we stand upright. Amen. And then last, and I'll close with this verse, my final verse. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says this. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. Remember what we start off? You need to just say, God, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. God, I need to take some time and find out what I should do. You tell me. And I'll do it. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and they will, and he will exalt you in due time. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, I've been tithing for a whole 3 weeks, and it don't work. Pastor, Hey, guys, just be committed to it. Humble out. You know what it is? It's the humble man that says, God's ways are right. I don't care. I don't care. It don't make any difference what it looks like. The just shall live by faith. You know what? You know, listen, who do you want to be? I don't want to be like Eve. That's what Eve thought. Eve thought, I can do whatever I want, and there will be no ramifications. And as soon as she did what she wanted, and then her husband followed her, man, they knew instantly that they were naked. What's that? It's the shame. It's the junk. It's the sin that all came in. Yeah, but she didn't die right away. The Bible said, as soon as you said, when you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. They didn't die. No, you know why you think that? Because you don't know the Hebrew. He didn't say you're going to die. Here's what he said. You're going to die, and you're going to die. He said you're going to die spiritually, and then you're going to die physically. That's exactly what they did. They died spiritually, and they died physically. Satan's a liar, but God brings the truth. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to embrace what God says. I want you to recognize you don't know everything. You know what? So much of the stuff you'll just get right out of the Bible. God will speak to you right out of the Bible. And when he speaks to you, you follow what he says. You do what he says. Don't think that you're different, because you're not. You know what? Heaven and earth will pass away. But let me tell you what's not going to pass away. This is not going to pass away. Amen. This is going to stay forever. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for people who are willing to come and hear what you say to us. We thank you that we are willing and obedient, Father. May this word help us tonight, Father, in what we're going through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.